Hello and welcome everyone back to the Hole for Hold Pro Wrestling Podcast, bringing you the best of pro wrestling one hold at a time. Please remember to hold it down by following Hold for Hold on Twitter and Instagram and subscribing to this podcast on both YouTube and anywhere else you want to listen to this podcast, because that's where this is. How you guys like that new intro? I think that was pretty nice, right? I thought I did that pretty well. Anyways, though, this episode is jam-packed. I think I say that about every episode because guess what? I do this once a week, so a lot of things happen every week. But for real, this episode is huge. We have three pay-per-views, three premium live events, whatever you prefer to say. We have three events coming this weekend, and we're going to be discussing every single storyline going into them, as well as some news from the world of pro wrestling, especially because we are living in such a weird time of so much backstage drama going on. I have to talk about it. I have to do it. Hope you guys are doing okay, by the way. It seems like, you know, the world's getting weird every week. So I hope wherever you are, you're doing okay. Let's kick off with our news this week. We have a prominent member of the AEW roster sticking up for CM Punk, as well as a prominent member of the AEW roster possibly leaving the company. And we have rumors and speculation about a top star, a once top star, returning to the WWE. Let's kick this off with that aforementioned prominent AEW superstar speaking on behalf of CM Punk here. We have Dax Harwood of FTR. He gave an interview with Stephen Mulholzen from Dazen, and basically just addressed the backstage situation that, you know, is all over the news right now. I'm gonna read all these quotes, okay? And then at the end, I can give my thoughts, give what it really stands out to me here. So bear with me, this is a lot of quotes, but I only pulled the ones that I feel give the most context to the situation. So he begins by saying, I think there's a lot of things from the past, mostly. I think there's a lot of old grudges and old bias that I think a lot of unresolved issues that are tainting how people react to seeing him now sometimes, because he's been nothing but nice and helpful to anybody that wants it. Furthermore, I'm not going to speak much on it because all that was perfectly put, but I'll tell you this. What's the better headline? CM Punk goes into business for himself and shoots on somebody, or CM Punk invites Will Hobbs into his locker room and explains to him for 30 minutes what he could have done better himself for the match earlier? Or a headline that says CM Punk goes to Danhausen, who came to him and asked for advice, watched his match, and CM Punk gave him notes on what he could do better in the next match? Or what about this? If Brock Anderson says, hey, do you mind watching my tag match tonight? CM Punk sits there, even though he's got a busy night, and watches it and says, hey, come to my locker room. Anybody else want to come to the locker room? Let's talk about this. What's the better headline? What's the more juicy headline that is going to get the more juicy headline is the one of him going into business with himself. In closing, he says, right now, I think I can safely say he's one of my best friends because we all share the same passion for professional wrestling. And sometimes passion gets mistaken for being an asshole because you just want to be the best. You want the best for AEW. He wants the best for himself as well. We all do. But he wants the best for AEW and he puts AEW above himself. I haven't met too many guys who have the love and passion for professional wrestling that he has. And I'll close on CM Punk with this and we'll move on. I wish a lot of people, a lot of the guys, look at it instead of saying, oh my God, this guy from WWE is here in AEW. He might be trying to take my spot. I want them to say, oh my God, this guy who has a legit Hall of Fame background, who's drawn money, who's made money for the big company, he doesn't want to go back to the big company. I think this quote is important, first of all, to really get both sides of the story, right? Because right now we get a lot of bashing of Punk, and who knows, it could be deservingly so. But Dax Harwood has been prominently featured as one of CM Punk's close friends, both on screen, off screen. And it's very nice to hear this stuff. I think there is some truth to this. Personally, and again, I'm not there. This is just a fan speculating on what's, you know, being reported, what's given to us, the access that we have. I think there's probably some truth in here that people who put their best foot forward and ask CM Punk for help on their match or their promo or whatever, CM Punk's willing to put the effort out there to be like, okay, I'll watch the match. I'll do my best to help you out here. And maybe oftentimes people aren't willing to put that first foot forward. They expect a veteran like CM Punk to come into the locker room and be a locker room leader right off the bat and just like claim that, you know what I mean? And I don't necessarily see that as a wrong point of view, and I don't see the other point of view of CM Punk not wanting to immediately become a locker room leader, or even just in this amount of time, in the year that he's been there, he doesn't feel maybe comfortable being that guy. And I can't fault a guy for doing that, because if you don't feel comfortable in that role, you're not going to be good at that role. But if, you know, if you are willing to hear people out, if you give people the time when they ask for it, that's at the least what you can do. And if you're doing that, kudos to you, man, because CM Punk does have a lot to offer from both a pro wrestling standpoint and just an entertainment standpoint. The guy has been around in the big companies. They've seen how things work there, and maybe what things that he doesn't do could work for somebody else, you know? But again, I think there is still a lot of truth in the, like, big egos are at play here, so big egos are going to get hurt and things are going to come out. But yeah, I'm not trying to take a definitive point, if you could tell me dancing around this, because I'm not there, man, you know, and none of us are there. If you're a pro wrestling fan and you're bashing CM Punk, or you're bashing FTR, or whoever, if you're bashing anyone in this whole situation for something you personally are not there to witness, to see, you're kind of looking foolish right now, you know? And I'll kind of leave it at that. I think this whole backstage stuff is unfortunately deteriorating my enjoyment of AEW's product right now. And I know they're playing into it sometimes and they're not playing into it in other ways, and we'll talk about that later. But yeah, this is just, it's a little too, like, I don't know. I want people to be nice and be friends, and then that's not always the case, and I understand that. But I don't need people trying to basically destroy the other person's legacy, or, you know, have to feel like they're having to crawl out of this, you know, because nothing that's been said so far has been so dramatically terrible that it's justifiably canceling CM Punk, you know? It's just more so tainting the run he's having, and who knows if that's justified or not. I don't know. Like I said, I don't know anything. But anyways, let's continue on with AEW. We have Bobby Fish possibly leaving the company. According to Fightful Select, his contract is set to expire pretty soon, and his deal is reportedly not going to be renewed. Bobby Fish has not been on AEW TV since him and Cole and Kyle O'Reilly were betrayed by the Young Bucks, setting up the Trios tournament. And according to Bobby Fish, Cole and Redragon were initially slated to be in the Trios tournament, but plans shifted once it became clear that the trio would not be healthy enough to compete, because both O'Reilly and Cole are dealing with injuries. I don't want to see Bobby Fish leave. I love Bobby Fish. I've been a huge advocate for him. I was excited when he came in as a singles wrestler. Like, I like Bobby Fish that much. So see him leave is going to be a little bittersweet. For sure, I think he'll probably end up in WWE, to be honest. Under this new Triple H regime, he'll probably do okay. He could probably link back up with Roddy, with Roderick Strong, and that'd be pretty fun to see. I'm not going to lie, I'd enjoy that. But, you know, things happen. I think there is still, though, untold story here between the Undisputed Elite and their breakup, seemingly, you know, the Elite getting back together and Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole all having this, you know, beef. I would like this story to be wrapped up at the least before his contract expires. Speaking of, well, I didn't have a segue there, actually. Let's just move on. We have a report going around. It's been reported on earlier this week, and now it's like seems to be set in stone. PW Insider is seemingly confirming that Braun Strowman is expected to be back with WWE pretty soon. Now, I'm dancing around a little bit of a point here because they kind of give a date, and if it's a spoiler, I don't want to say it. So I'm just going to say it seems like he's back in the company already, and they have legitimate plans for him. and it's not shocking for me. Raquel Gonzalez, Rodriguez, whatever her last name is in kayfabe, she is Braun Strowman's wife, and so it kind of just makes sense that if you want to go back to WWE. I also think Triple H likes Braun Strowman, as you could see from their interactions at Survivor Series, where he let Braun Strowman basically, he made him look like a chump, had him crying in the corner. So I think that we're going to get like a legitimate run here for the choo-choo train, the man with hands, Braun Strowman. Personally, I liked Braun Strowman in his peak era of like 2017, 2018, when right before that triple threat with Brock and Kane. I think that match specifically ruined Braun in a really like instant way. Once he received that stiff punch from Brock, kind of setting him in his place, that was kind of it for him, in my opinion. At least from a creative standpoint, seemed like they didn't want to run with him anymore. And it kind of sucked because I thought he had a lot of potential. I still think he has potential. He's one of those guys that right now the roster feels kind of perfect, right? Like, I'm watching Raw and SmackDown, enjoying every segment because everybody feels so cohesive. I just don't know where Braun's going to fit into that. And I don't necessarily need him in the company, you know, personally. But good for him. You know, he's going to get a payday. He gets to hang out with his wife more. And that's all fun and good, you know. Just personally, on a creative standpoint, on enjoying the pro wrestling product, it's just going to feel a little bit weird. But who knows? Maybe they have a perfect place for him. I can kind of see him being in the Bobby Lashley orbit, because I think they have really good chemistry, and probably that's like a fair opponent for him, but we'll see. Let's move on here. This is going to be a little bit of a different podcast, a little bit of a return to the not half-assing it podcast, because I was never half-assing it. I just didn't have the time. But since we have these three pay-per-views, I feel like me recapping the weekly shows, we're going to get repetitive because I'm going to talk about them in the predictions for these shows that are coming up. And so I'm just going to run down the card with you, and each match we'll go through the story bits that are going on and why it's leading me to my prediction of what may happen. And hopefully you're still well informed enough to watch these pay-per-views and have a good time. And I think you will have a good time even if you know nothing about what's going on, because these three shows are stacked, and by three I mean all three, and this includes an NXT 2.0 premium line of event. So, you know, that's a pretty big compliment from me. So we're gonna start off on the WWE side. There's a couple stories that I'm not gonna get into because of the match card, so I figure let's just talk about it right off the bat. And it's the best storyline that's going on in all of wrestling. It's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. These two guys are possibly having the run of their careers. Sami Zayn in particular has been good for about a year now, but he is fully stepping into that spotlight that I've always wanted for him. And I think we're only gonna see bigger and better things come out of this. This last week on Friday night, Sami Zayn was so good that he made Roman Reigns and Jey Uso break character. I just can't even believe like the great segments we're getting with this four person group, the bloodline, and now they're touching with the Kevin Owens storyline. They're meeting these circles and they're merging, bringing back the history between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in a perfect way, and I'm just so excited to continue watching this story blossom. But on this past Monday night, well, let's go back to Friday Night SmackDown, okay? Let's start here. Essentially, Roman Reigns, oh my god, well, let's set the scene. Sami Zayn knocks on Roman's door. The Usos answer it. Jay gives him a little bit of shit. And you can hear Roman go, "Sami, why are you out there? Come on inside." So welcoming to Sami. So he brings him in. And he's like, "Come on, sit down, you know what to do." And Sammy's like, "I do know what to do." And he sits down right next to Roman. The Usos flanking Sammy on both sides. Jay, obviously disgruntled, which is a great wrinkle in this, is that Sammy has the approval of Jimmy, but not Jay. Love that. And basically, Roman just asks Sami Zayn to help distract Drew McIntyre ahead of their match, right? He's like, you know, I need you to distract him. And Sami's like, yes, I'm the master strategist. This is what I do. I get in people's head. I lay down a blanket. I have a picnic. I do my little dance. And his little dance breaks both Roman and Jay. And Roman has to like, he's like, look at this. You see this? I loved it. It was so perfect, so genuine. I was giggling the entire time. And that led later into the night, Drew McIntyre versus Sami Zayn. Really fun match where a little cat and mouse was going on. Eventually, Drew looks to have this thing won. The Usos, they blast Drew with chairs. They're beating him up. And it's a vicious beatdown. And they even include Sami in the beatdown. They have Drew up against the rail. What are they called? Yeah, like the rail, you know, the front row. They slam him with the steel steps. They have Sami do a haluva kick to him. They slam him with steel steps. They bring him inside the ring. Roman sets a chair down on him and just sits there holding both titles and has all three of his bloodline members, including Sami, flank him as he's just talking shit into the mic. I think it was just the camera audio. Yeah, it was. It was just the camera audio. And he's just saying, I run this. I want someone to take this from me. Somebody please take this from me. I loved it. Absolutely great visual. Perfect way to go out there. And then on Monday, you have Roman's two-year celebration of him holding the, they said it was the Undisputed Championship, but really it's his 2 years holding the Universal title. And Sami Zayn and the Usos come out, and Sami is the host of this celebration. He starts, you know, really digging into like, oh, Roman trusts me so much. He loves me. But then he realizes this is upsetting Jey Uso, so he starts to hype up the Usos. Kevin Owens comes out, interrupts this segment. Immediately when Kevin Owens came out, I was so excited because then it's, you know, it's Kevin and Sami. And Kevin just says, Sami, you look like an idiot. I didn't think it was possible for you to look any dumber, but you look like an idiot right now. And Sammy's trying his best to keep the peace between the Usos and Kevin Owens. And at first, you know, you don't think much of this. You don't think much of him trying to keep the peace because he's a cowardly heel. So you're just kind of think he's looking out for himself. But I think later, as we're about to get to, it really unfolds. So he's trying to keep the peace. It doesn't end up working. Kevin Owens and Jey Uso have a match. And during the match, Jey Uso goes outside. He like gathers him and Jimmy up. And he's like, okay, we need to plan. Like, and so they plan something real quick. Jimmy tells Sami to get a chair. Jimmy distracts the ref. Jay holds Kevin Owens up for Sami to hit him in the face with a chair. And he couldn't do it. Sami hesitated. He could not hit his best friend, Kevin Owens. And this eventually leads to Jey Uso losing the match. So we're going to get some follow-up on that on Friday. And I'm so excited for whatever that is. And it's just like such simple storytelling, such great talent, but everything is just building on itself perfectly. And I've been enjoying this story so much. I mean, this is top story for me in wrestling right now. And it's the best story for so many reasons, but it's also feels like the most important story in WWE television because it's definitely leading to either a split of the bloodline or new challengers for the bloodline. It brings insecurity for the bloodline, and I think that's what they've been missing for probably the last year. They've been so secure as the top of the mountain, right? And you need challengers to really add a sense of drama, add insecurity, and I think this is perfect. Between this and Drew and Karrion Kross's story, all this mixing in for that main event spots across both brands too, it just makes those titles feel as important as they should. And I've been really enjoying that. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and I can't believe I'm going to be talking about this, but it's NXT. I think NXT is getting a big refresh after this Worlds Collide pay-per-view. And we're going to talk about some of these matchups, actually all the matchups. And we can discuss why I think, you know, what's going to happen in each of these. But in overall, I kind of feel like this pay-per-view is going to be the not the bringing back of NXT 1.0, but the merger between 1.0 and 2.0 as it should have been. Basically just rebooking that entire thing. I think we're going to see a presentation change. We might see title change. I think we will see title changes, but yeah, I think this is going to be a big moment in NXT's history, and it may push me over the top to have to watch NXT on a weekly basis and not have to in a forced way, have to in an excited way. So let's go right off the bat with Worlds Collide. We start at the bottom of the card with what I think is going to be a banger match, but I wish had one more stipulation, and that's a best of three falls match between Nathan Frazier and A-Kid, not Axiom. I hate that stupid name. This is going to be a banger. I just wish they had built to this a little more, so that way it could have been a hair versus mask match and we could get the return of A-Kid. But who knows? They may do this down the line, and if they do, I'll be especially happy, because I thought, and I think I shared this before, I thought A-Kid was going to be the guy to take that title off Dragunov, and I think he has that potential, man. I think he's world champ potential, for real. So that's going to be a fun match. Best out of three falls, I kind of see Axiom picking the win here. And again, I'm very uneducated. I only keep up with NXT 2.0 via recaps and reviews. And I don't pay that close attention to it because I don't care about them that much. But anyways, I think this is going to be a really fun match. And I think Axiom is going to walk away with the win here, A-Kid. Next up, we have another really exciting match. We have the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships being defended by Katana Chance and King Carter, who were a stellar tag team in NXT 1.0, and I've heard really good things about their chemistry evolving in 2.0, so that's good to hear. They're taking on the team of Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. The return of Nikki and Piper Niven's is a really cool thing to see in NXT, and we're going to talk more about returns as we look at this card. I don't necessarily think they're there to stay, though. I think this is just, by circumstance. I actually don't think most of these returns that we saw on NXT were there to stay. I think it's because they weren't on the card for Cardiff, so they were probably available to go to NXT. And in this case, to compete at the pay-per-view. Which kind of, it made me a little sad once I realized that Nikki A.S.H. is not going to be in Cardiff, because it's pretty close to, you know, her home country, and I'm sure she would like to be there, and I think the EU crowd, the UK crowd, knows Nikki Cross is Scottish, so a little sad to see there. But for this match in particular, I think Katana Chance and King Carter are definitely winning this match. I don't know if this will be like further heel turn for Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. Maybe a beat down afterwards, you know, whatever, get their heat back. But it'd be interesting to see. Next up, we have what's definitely going to be the match of the night. Definitely. No doubt about it in my mind. The NXT North American Championship is on the line. Carmelo Hayes defending against the one and only Ricochet. This match is going to be a banger. Like I said, I don't expect Ricochet to stay in NXT after this match. I think he's just available because of Cardiff, so why not have them put on a banger? And it's going to be a banger. Carmelo Hayes is going to win that match, and I'm going to be very happy with it. Following this, we have the NXT Tag Team Unification Elimination Match. We have the Creed Brothers, Julius and Brutus, taking on Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen, taking on Pretty Deadly and Gallus. I don't know much about the tag division on NXT, and honestly, I don't really know much about the tag division in NXT UK. I know that Josh Briggs and Brooks Jensen are the disgraceful tag team champions of the UK, and I hate that. I really don't like those guys. Google it as to why I don't like it, but I really want to see Gallus come out on top here. Gallus boys on top, big time. I heard the Creed Brothers are doing great work, though. And so I guess I wouldn't be mad if the Creed Brothers pull the win here, but I do want to see Gallus stay together and continue fighting on NXT 2.0, but I kind of have the feeling that Gallus is breaking up. From all the things I've been keeping up with in UK, it seems like Gallus is going to break up, which is, I don't know. I really like Gallus boys. Like, they have some of the best wrestlers in that faction. And I think they've all shined in their certain ways. So who knows? Maybe they need this breakup. But, man, I like Gallus boys. So my prediction, I got Gallus boys on top. Predicting from the heart here. Next up, we have the NXT Women's Championship Unification Match between the NXT Women's UK Champion, Meiko Satomura, taking on Blair Davenport and the NXT Women's Champion, Mandy Rose. I see Blair Davenport coming out of this one. I think she's going to win this match. I think Mandy Rose is going to get called up. And I don't know about Mako, though. I could see this being like their way of continuing on the Mako and Blair Davenport feud, because I think it had to abruptly end when Davenport got injured. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Davenport pin Mandy and that lead to a Mako Davenport rematch. Mako probably losing that, keeping her strong though by never really losing her title, and her and Davenport can have like an extreme match or something like that. So I think this is gonna be a banger though. This could steal the show too, honestly. So we're gonna see. Which, this is the thing too, we have like three matches on here that are just gonna be killer. Like, I think a couple of these are gonna be really good, but I think some of these are gonna be really, really good. If that makes it, that's like third grader term of, oh, I like you, but no, I really like you. But I really think we have some bangers, and that's really the only reason I'm covering this damn thing, because if it didn't have bangers listed, I probably wouldn't care. But anyways, speaking of banger, I think this one also, it could be a sleeper banger. NXT Championship match, Tyler Bate, big strong boy, taking on Bron Breakker, Bron Steiner. I don't know really. The things I've heard about Bron Breakker's title reign has been just like, it's not very story driven. It's very much just challenger, 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 gets beat by Bron in pretty decisive fashion. And I think that it's time to roll with someone better than him, and that's Tyler Bate. Tyler Bate's probably top five wrestler in the whole world, and we just haven't gotten to see it the last couple years. Genuinely, top five wrestler in the whole world. I like him more than I like Will Ospreay, and that's a hot take. That's a hot take, but in terms of in-ring storytelling, love Tyler Bates. I want Big Strong Boy to come out of this. I want him to unify those titles. Unfortunately, I did not know that he was UK champion until he showed up on Tuesday. I did not get to watch the finals of that tournament beforehand because they hadn't aired. But realistically, Bron Breakker's probably winning this. Tyler Bate might move on to do NXT EU, or he might move on to main roster. I kind of don't see him on main roster, just because from everything I remember hearing is that Tyler Bate doesn't want to move to the US, which I don't blame him. We are a hellhole. Anyways, that is NXT Worlds Collide. I really think this is going to be the pay-per-view that turns me around on NXT. There's already talks that NXT Halloween Havoc is going to become a premium live event and not just aired on TV. And if that's the case, does that mean it's going to be running arenas? And if that's the case, does that mean they have huge plans for NXT? I think that's everything we're going to find out on this pay-per-view. Speaking of big changes, there are some big changes that could happen on this next pay-per-view that's happening this weekend, and that's Clash at the Castle in Cardiff, Wales. We have some banger matches lined up, but we also have some consequential matches lined up that I don't know if we're ready for this pay-per-view quite yet. I know we've had some great build to this pay-per-view, but still, I just don't know if I'm ready. Let's start off at the bottom here with Rey Mysterio and Edge, no Dominic, taking on The Judgment Day, the team of Finn Balor and Damian Priest, who will surely have Rhea Ripley there getting all the cheers, because that's what she does. So the story leading into this, obviously, they've been feuding for a while. Edge got kicked out of The Judgment Day by Finn Balor, Rhea Ripley, and Damian Priest. And now Rhea has kind of taken the helm of Edge. Basically, they feel Edge is too washed up, nothing to teach us, so they don't need him. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio were being brutalized by The Judgment Day for a couple weeks now. Specifically, Dominic getting brutalized by Rhea Ripley in a way that I think we all would like to be. But man, I probably should cut that. But anyways, so this match, I think the biggest story beat that they can tell here is Dominic's allegiance to either his father or Rhea Ripley. Dominic has expressed his frustrations about Edge being Rey Mysterio's go-to guy, basically. He feels like his dad is kind of underestimating him in a way. And this past week on Monday, Rey broke the news that Edge will be teaming with him, and they're keeping in this family, and Edge is like family. And it's purely an experience thing, Dom. You know, that Edge has the big match experience. And Dominic said, I'll be there for him. Well, specifically, Rey asked Dominic to still be there for them. And Dominic says, don't worry, I'll be there. He did not say for them. So I kind of predict this is it. This is going to be the trigger pulling moment where Rhea Ripley has the helm and she has persuaded Dominic away from his own family. And Dominic is going to brutalize his own father. I think that's going to happen. I think he's going to turn on him during the match. Judgment Day is going to get this win. And then after the match, they're going to, you know, start beating them down. Oh, sorry. I meant to say Edge and Rey are going to win this match. Some way, somehow they're going to win. But after the match, Judgment Day is going to try to get their heat back. They're hitting them with chairs, kendo sticks. Dominic is going to have to make a choice, and he's going to do it decisively. He is going to swing at his father with a kendo stick or a steel chair, whatever it may be. He may even give his own father a concerto. I wouldn't be shocked at that, and I would enjoy it. So I think that's what we're going to see coming up at Clash of the Castle with this storyline. So yeah, Edge and Rey are going to win the match, but it's going to be the post-match that makes the difference. Following this, I have Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Sky, the team of Damage Control, I believe they're called, taking on Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and Bianca Belair. I think Damage Control has to win here. It's their first big match as a faction, and I think Triple H understands that. They need those legitimizing wins. I think Alexa Bliss is going to eat the pin here, too. And this could be the start of a story between Bliss and Asuka, or Bliss against Asuka and Bianca. I don't know yet, because I do know that Bliss is not comfortable as a babyface. She has said it herself, and I wouldn't be shocked if she leaves this match with a different attitude. After this, I have the Women's SmackDown Women's Championship. Liv Morgan, the champion, taking on Shayna Baszler. I think that Liv is going to pull out the win here. I would like to be optimistic and say that Shane is going to pull out the win here, but I don't see that happening. I think Shane is going to be so over in the UK. But yeah, Liv Morgan, she's winning this match. She has to win it decisively is the thing, or else she doesn't look credible in her rematch against Ronda. And I think they know that, and I think that's what's going to happen here. I forgot to do the story lead up to both of those matches. Hopefully you understand the story between Damage Control, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss. But essentially, you know, they're just feuding because Damage Control came back and they wanted to feud with Becky and Bianca, but Becky got hurt, so Asuka and Alexa Bliss kind of got thrown in those roles. It hasn't been the most effective thing for me. As much as I love Damage Control and the character work that they do, this feud hasn't really hit the mark for me. And then the SmackDown Women's Championship, Liv Morgan, she won the title in a Money in the Bank cash-in on Ronda Rousey. She then beat Ronda Rousey at SummerSlam, but Ronda had an armbar in, and Liv just got the leverage to pin her while she's in the armbar. But unfortunately, Liv also tapped out while the pin was happening. So technically, Ronda won that match, but because of the ref not seeing it, Liv Morgan is still champion. And so now Shayna Baszler won a gauntlet match to earn the number one contendership here. Ronda Rousey has still been appearing on TV and has recently called Shayna Baszler soft on television. And this has brought out that dark streak within Shayna. And Liv Morgan is just really just looking to prove herself as a champion in storyline and outside of it. So that's why I think Liv Morgan is going to win. Let's keep things rolling here. With Seth freaking Rollins taking on Matt Riddle, the man who now has his first name back, Matt Riddle. They had a killer segment on this past Monday Night Raw, this Go Home Raw, which I think kind of explains their entire feud. Essentially, it's a sit-down interview, a dual-screen sit-down interview. So you have Matt Riddle on the left in some location that looks a little more comfy, a little more relaxed. I like that little detail there. While Seth Rollins is in the right window, and he has just a black background. And I think this is a perfect encapsulation because it gives us a peek into possibly his psyche, but also accentuates everything else that he does, the clothes, the looks, the facials, everything like that, that he's so over the top with. So essentially, they're just being interviewed about this match, about how Matt Riddle has a dependency on Randy Orton and that he's living in a shadow. Matt Riddle calls out Seth Rollins, says, you know, I'm going to prove at Clash of the Castle that there's only one man in your family, and that's Becky Lynch. We go to commercial from this, and the segment, it's said that the interview's over, and then we go to commercial. We come back from commercial, and it's revealed that the cameras kept rolling and the mics were still on. Seth Rollins, once that Becky Lynch line was said, and they're wrapping up this segment, I think Michael Cole's wrapping up the segment, Seth Rollins has gone just in a crazed look, just intense, blank stare. And as soon as we come back from commercial, they said the cameras were rolling, mic was on. Seth calmly but tensely says, Riddle, you still there? And Riddle responds, yes. And Seth says, you want to talk about family? Let's talk about your family. How you're divorced and because your wife and your kids didn't want to see your bitch ass anymore. And Riddle says, what did you say? You heard me. Come find me. Come find me. No. What did you say? No, I'm not going to beat you up. I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to fuck you up, Rollins. And he says the F-bomb like 3 times. And this segment was just like, that was stellar. Like, that's one, the best dual screen interview I've seen in WWE. But also, it's the best segment of this feud. It perfectly encapsulates their character. It brought an intensity that it needed. Because for the last few weeks, we've been seeing a lot of just aimless brawling. And while I like action, and it does describe, you know, that there's such a toxicity between these two people that they can't seem to stay in the same room. So that's why we have to do a dual screen interview. This just brings their characters here. Their characters have intensity in this match. And I think it's going to be a really good match, first of all, because both Matt Riddle and Seth Rollins are just outstanding wrestlers. And bringing in that bit of personal animosity is going to elevate this to another level. So yeah, that's the rundown for this feud. I think Seth Rollins is walking away with this, winning it. I think he has effectively gotten under Matt Riddle's skin, and that's going to lead to Riddle losing this match. He might get a little overheated, go a little too far, and in that blindness, he'll slip up and Rollins will hit a stomp on him for the win. And then we have the WWE Intercontinental Championship match between the Ring General, Volter, not Gunther, taking on Sheamus. This is a fan service match through and through. Sheamus won a Fatal 4-Way or Fatal 5-Way to earn this opportunity. This past Friday night, him and Walter have a face-off. You have Sheamus with his crew of Ridge Holland and Butch facing off with Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser in the middle of the ring. They kind of give their spiels about why they're going to win this match, and then they just intensely stare at each other, just not moving, not breaking eye contact. Sheamus and Gunther start staring at each other while Butch starts to attack Ludwig Kaiser, and Ludwig and Butch are just fighting around them. Ridge Holland kind of gets involved. Ludwig kind of fights off both men, and the entire time Gunther and Sheamus do not break that stare, showing the intensity, and it's good stuff. I really enjoyed it. I think Walter's got this match in the bag, no issue. I think this is gonna be the match of the night. From a pure wrestling standpoint, I think this is definitely gonna be the match of the night. Walter in the UK is just an undescribable magic that you just have to watch. If you didn't think you were gonna watch this pay-per-view, watch this match only, okay? Following this, let's hit it up at the top. The main event of the show, with no doubt in my mind, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship being defended by the 2-year-long reign holder, Roman Reigns, taking on Drew McIntyre, who is now having Tyson Fury in his corner, apparently. That was just announced today. This match is going to be an overbooked mess, right? But who's going to win it? I don't know, guys. I really don't know. You're in the UK. Drew McIntyre deserves to have that title win in the UK because he had to suffer with the Performance Center WrestleMania win, right? He got no fan response. And then his entire reign, he didn't get any fans to celebrate his win. His biggest moment was at the Royal Rumble, and he got a ginormous ovation. And I think it could be replicated here. Is just how the hell are you going to do it? You know, Roman is the top guy in the industry. It's going to take every trick in the book. It may take Kevin Owens. It may take Karrion Kross. Like, somewhere, you have a lot of really interesting pieces. Like I mentioned earlier, there is some uncertainty within the bloodline. But is it enough for Drew McIntyre to pull out the win? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say WWE, Triple H specifically, understands the gravity of that moment of having Drew McIntyre win the title, the titles, in his home country. A very much a British Bulldog, Bret Hart moment. And I think he's looking to recreate that here. And I think it'll happen. I think Drew McIntyre is going to walk away with the WWE Universal Undisputed Championship. And those are my predictions for everything going on in the WWE. I hope that me recapping, you know, every feud ahead of their matches, I hope that helps you gain a better understanding. If you have any more questions on that stuff, or if you want me to talk about that stuff, please leave it down in the comments, and I'll get to it in the next video, you know, any more explanation. But I think I covered it all, really, you know. But anyways, let's move on to AEW. There's some things I want to talk about. We do have All Out to predict. And again, I'm going to do the same thing that I did in the WWE side of things. I'm going to do it again for this All Out pay-per-view. But there's a couple things I want to talk about ahead of time. I think, you know, there's no big story that I'm going to leave out with this card, because this card is so long that I'm not leaving anything out, I don't think. But just on an overall standpoint, on overall enjoyment of AEW, Dynamite has been fantastic lately, but it's still been lacking. It's definitely been lacking story. It's had some killer matches this past week. Yeah, that trios match between the Elite and United Empire. That was fantastic. Just textbook good wrestling. But there's no encapsulating story right now. I know the CM Punk drama and the CM Punk story in particular could be someone's, you know, thing. It's not my thing at all. CM Punk right now kind of has go-away heat with me. Like, I need him to take a break. I need a Moxley run that has a real story that doesn't include Punk. And I think he could do that. I think he really, really could do that. But right now, I'm not enjoying it. This past week, Punk basically, you know, using Chicago as his like motivator to insert himself into the world title match. Not my thing, man. Not my thing at all. It's not. The way he lost that title, getting squashed by Jon Moxley in Cleveland, that should be a complete shattering of confidence. Like, Punk shouldn't even challenge for the title, at least until Full Gear. Doing a 1 week 180 like that, that was some rushed Vince McMahon era stuff, man. That's not good. I did not enjoy this at all. And I'm not looking forward to this match because CM Punk's winning that match. Spoiler alert, but he's definitely winning. He's in Chicago. They're not having Punk lose in Chicago. There's like a 3% chance that he's going to turn heel on Mox, but I don't see that happening either, because I think the way they've been positioning Mox, it's definitely been more heel facing than babyface. And you know, Mox is one of those guys that's a tweener. You know, he can do either or, and I think he consistently does both. But especially this last week, it's feeling like Punk's winning that match clean as a babyface, and I'm not here for it. I think Moxley either should get a longer run or Punk needs to turn heel. There's just nothing going on right now in that division. There's nothing going on in any division, to be honest. Like, that's the biggest issue I have right now. Is, yeah, the matches are really good every week, but the stories aren't there. The promo segments aren't there, you know? I think even Miro's story right now feels flat. Like, it doesn't feel as good as a normal Miro promo, and that's disappointing for me. So overall, while I'm excited to watch the matches on All Out, I don't necessarily see this pay-per-view being a huge pivot point for the future of AEW television. I kind of just see this almost being a pay-per-view they want to get over with, so that way they can move on and hopefully push Punk as a babyface and have like an interesting story after this. But you're starting off on a bad foot. You're starting off on a bad foot with Punk being a babyface here right now. With all the drama that's going on, I think they should have not bled into it too much, but at the least acknowledge it and make it a thing. Make it like, I don't know, make it, give it some spice. Give these stories spice by having those backstage things, you know? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe those backstage things are too personal. Maybe it's like too on the nose and they don't want to give any indication that Punk can be that way backstage, and I don't blame him for that. But also pushing him as like a fucking perfect babyface is not the way to go here, in my opinion. But yeah, like I said, we're gonna cover pretty much every story that's going on in AEW with this card, so let's just jump right into it. We have the kickoff show, the 0 hour. We have the All-Atlantic Championship match between Pac and Kip Sabian. This is going to be the first time I see Kip Sabian wrestle, so that should be interesting to see. Pac is definitely picking up the win here. I see no issue with that at all. This is going to be a showcase match for Kip. He might do something weird, but I think in the end, I think Pac is holding on to that title. He's that guy. He is All-Atlantic, you know? Then we have the FTW title being defended by Taz's son, Hook, taking on the Cool Hand, I think that's his nickname, the Cool Hand, Angelo Parker of the Jericho Appreciation Society. I want this to be Hook's first match, but I don't think it's gonna be. Ricky Starks was his first match, wasn't it? Who cares then? Hook wins pretty easily, I think. This is the match that I think is gonna be absolute killer. I think this match has already happened once. I think I've already watched this match. Maybe not. Eddie Kingston taking on Tomohiro Ishii. What more can I say? This is going to be a banger. A lot of backstage stuff going on with Eddie Kingston. I guess I could run it down right now. Essentially, Eddie Kingston was suspended internally for a altercation that happened between himself and Sammy Guevara. And all stemming from a promo where I think Eddie challenged Sammy to this pay-per-view. Sammy's response was kind of rude, a little fat shaming, and Eddie didn't like the way that came off. He kind of made his character look weak, and so he told Sammy about it. Sammy gave him kind of a blank like grin, he says, and this is all from Eddie, that Sammy gave him like a blank grin or whatever, kind of just pissed him off even more. So Eddie ended up palming Sammy Guevara, which cool, and Eddie got suspended for it. Eddie has since apologize, I guess, to both Sammy and just apologize in general. He's like, you know, that was in the wrong and I can own up to that, and so blah blah blah. And now he has this match, which to me feels like a reward because the match is going to be a killer. But yeah, that's kind of what's been going on with Eddie. It's a little bit, you know, gossipy, so I didn't want to talk about it too much, but yeah. And then following this, I have the main card starting off with the House of Black taking on Miro, Darby Allin, and Sting in a trios match. This should be a banger, but the story here, basically Miro was misted by Malakai Black in the Forbidden Door Fatal 4-Way match for the All-Atlantic Championship, starting Miro on this path of kind of dealing with the demons that House of Black possesses, and it all tying into Miro's God-fearing story. God actually fearing Miro, in fact. That's kind of what all it's been. And then Darby Allin and Sting they've been feuding with the House of Black in their own ways, specifically Darby and Brody King. And so this past go-home show, Darby was in Miro's like room or whatever, and he just says, you know, I think the House of Black realizes they don't need Malakai, or they need to realize they don't need Malakai, and Malakai's actually just controlling you. And Miro just still wants to beat up God, so that's why he's there, and he's going to take down these pagans first. So I think House of Black's winning this match, to be honest. Just having the mismatch team of Miro, Darby Allin, and Sting is a little weird, and I don't think they're going to... It's going to be a fun match. I love Miro in ring. I think him and Buddy Matthews probably are going to have great chemistry. But in the end, I see the House of Black winning here and them continuing to feud for like 4 more months, because that's how House of Black feuds go. Next up, I have the Christian Cage Jungle Boy match. And actually, it's not going to be Jungle Boy. It's going to be Jack Perry that he's fighting. I actually thought they had a really good sit-down interview. I think it's the best segment they've had leading into their feud. I think if this was the segment rather than the constant just like raunchy, to be raunchy's sake, segments, I think I would enjoy this feud a lot more. So this past week, Christian Cage, Jungle Boy have a sit-down interview with JR. They agree to a no physicality rule. Christian just laying it down. Well, first of all, Christian's like, you know me, I'm a professional, Jim Ross. You signed me on my first contract, so of course I would agree to this. No physicality. That's just the kind of guy I am, which is just a perfect way to encapsulate being a chicken shit heel. And just basically, Christian's just like, I don't care what Jungle Boy thinks. I'm here for myself. I'm here for the money, the title. I never wanted to have a personal relationship with this kid. I was just using him, right? That's his point of view here. I don't know if we're gonna get like a deeper version of that either, but Jungle Boy has a great promo. This is probably his best promo ever. Just basically saying, you know, I really felt for you as a person. I felt like we had a deep connection, and the way you have been acting, I really hope this isn't the real you, but I think it might be, and I'm a little worried about that. But at All Out, you will not be wrestling Jungle Boy. You will be fighting Jack Perry. I think that was really good stuff. Really good stuff. And it actually brought this match in a lot more esteem for me. I see Jungle Boy Jack Perry winning this match, but I do see it also altering his personality. I think we've been teasing it with him beating up Christian Cage kind of viciously. And Luchasaurus kind of getting his temper out of control. So I think this is going to be the full shift into heel mode for Jack Perry. And I wouldn't be surprised. I would really love if he dropped the name Jungle Boy and went by Jack Perry while he's a heel. I really love that kind of stuff. Anyways, though, another feud that I have been enjoying, and I think it's been doing a decent job of incorporating other people, specifically the Factory. I think it's the Factory's best feud so far. It's Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs going one-on-one. This match is going to be a banger. It just is. You know, it's Ricky Starks, Powerhouse Hobbs. They have a real personal connection. Like I said, I got emotional when Powerhouse Hobbs turned on Ricky Starks after their AEW Tag Team Championship match. Or no, after Ricky Starks' FTW defenses that he ended up losing the hook to. They have officially, you know, disbanded FTW. Or Team Taz, sorry, they officially disbanded Team Taz because of this. And Powerhouse Hobbs has kind of joined forces with the Factory, but very loosely. The Factory basically wants Powerhouse Hobbs, and so they're beating up on Ricky Starks to get to Hobbs. And the way they've been beating up on Starks has been brutal. You have Aaron Solo in that group, who was Ricky Starks' original tag team partner in the independent scene. So really good little storytelling there. And this past go-home segment, they are basically torturing Ricky Starks. And they have him, like, with a coat, like, a wire, what is it called? I forget, like, chicken wire or something, you know, where you choke somebody. Yeah, you know, when you every day are just choking somebody. No, but they're choking out Ricky Starks. He's bloody from the mouth. They're torturing him. They're like, you like this, Hobbs? And Hobbs is like, yeah, I like this. The best part about this, or not the best part, but one of the good parts about this is they're not only giving shine to the other members of the Factory, other than the usual, what's his name? Nick Camarado and QT Marshall. It's given a lot of shine to Aaron Solo and Anthony Gogo. It's kind of been reintroducing Anthony Gogo since his terrible feud with Cody Rhodes. They've been kind of teasing that Gogo is going to punch Ricky Starks, but they won't let him do it. So I like that stuff. I think Powerhouse Hobbs is winning this first one-on-one match. I think eventually they will have a rematch where Ricky Starks wins. Might be at Full Gear. But I think with some shenanigans, Powerhouse Hobbs getting the win here. And either way, though, I'm going to enjoy this either way. I think you can tell interesting stories either way with this feud. I just hope it's not over, because I think it's finding its footing. It's really good, but there's still layers to mine here as to the exact motivation why Hobbs turned on Starks. I know that he gave that promo about, you know, well, Starks accepted being a loser, but I think it should be a little bit deeper than that. But you never know. It could be over from here. Following this, I have the AEW World Tag Team Championships. Swerve and Our Glory taking on the Acclaimed. This is an interesting match, for sure. I think this is one of those toss-ups that can go either way. I have not liked the execution of the Acclaimed and Gun Club feud. I think they've been doing a little bit, just rushed. It's been a little rushed. So we're going to see how this one goes. Essentially, Swerve and Our Glory saved the Acclaimed from an ass-whooping from the Ass Boys. And I kind of think the Ass Boys are going to cost the Acclaimed their title shot here. And Swerve and Our Glory will retain. Kind of think that's just about it. But at least you have Billy Gunn coming out with the Acclaimed. I think that's going to be a fun segment. I think Chicago's going to love it. But like I said, kind of see Swerve and Our Glory taking this one, no problem. Following this, I have the Casino Battle Royal. The Casino Ladder Match, not the Battle Royal. We have Claudio Castagnoli taking on fellow BCC member Wheeler Yuta and Penta Oscuro and Rey Fénix taking on Dante Martin and Andrade El Idolo and Rush and a Joker. So a lot of interfaction going on here, right? Every man for himself. So it's going to be interesting to see how these teams have to interact with each other. This might honestly be genuinely the best casino ladder match. The one that Hangman won was really good too. That one had a freaking stacked. A couple options for the Joker that I see being realistic: Eddie Kingston, Sammy Guevara, Lance Archer, and Dragon Lee, wrapping up that story between himself and his brother and Idolo. Out of those names though, I kind of see Lance Archer being that guy. I feel like he kind of gets slotted in whenever they need a main eventer to take on their champ in their first feud. And kind of see that happening. I kind of see Lance Archer coming in, winning this match, taking on CM Punk in his first feud as they look to just sweep everything under the rug and move on from the CM Punk stuff. But I could be completely wrong. I would love it to be Eddie Kingston. I think that's who it should be. And him facing off with CM Punk as his first feud would be really good. And it could be a way to not sweep things under the rug and let everything come out to light and have a good story-driven time. But yeah, I think that's going to be a match to watch out for sure. Next up, we have Chris Jericho taking on Bryan Danielson. This is a story of sports entertainers and pro wrestlers and the heart of Daniel Garcia, as Daniel Garcia has been torn between his hero Bryan Danielson and his mentor Chris Jericho. It's basically a custody of Daniel Garcia match, and I'm here for it. I think their segments have been the highlight of Dynamite for me. Personally, I've really enjoyed watching Daniel Garcia have this crisis of who he wants to follow, you know, sit under their learning tree. I see Danielson picking up the win here, thanks to Daniel Garcia, and I see Garcia joining the BCC after this. Following this, I have Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns from Impact taking on FTR and Wardlow in a trios match. A little peculiar that the TNT champion is not defending his title, and neither are the Ring of Honor tag team champions on this show. I kind of feel like this is a match where they didn't have anything for him, so they just threw him in here, unfortunately, and that's a real shame because you have outstanding talent here. You have Wardlow, who could be a Batista level guy, and FTR, who are already the best tag team in the entire world. So a little bit of a shame here. I think this is gonna be a killer match though. The Motor City Machine Guns and FTR is just a dream match in general, and Wardlow is definitely gonna get the win with Powerbomb Symphony. So that's pretty much it. There's not much story going on here, honestly. Jay Lethal has just been feuding with anybody, really, and it's been lasting a little too long. And especially not being able to have Sonam Singh be his partner here is a little off. So I don't know. It's a little bit of a boring match, but it's gonna be good. It's just nothing there, you know. Following this, we have the TBS Championship being defended by the champion Jade Cargill taking on Athena. I think this is going to be I think this is going to be Jade Cargill's best match to date. No issue about that, but I think she is going to lose. I think she's going to win. Gosh, I keep saying the wrong thing. I think Jade Cargill is going to win, but it's going to be her best match as well. Athena is probably going to move on to that world title. The story for this, couldn't really tell you that much about it because it's mostly been on Rampage, and it's just been the bare minimum story, honestly. Just Athena not liking the baddies and the baddies not liking Athena, basically. Which is a shame. This should be a better story, but it's not. Speaking of shames, another thing that they didn't really have any story for, which, you know, could be not really their fault. It's the AEW Interim World Championship match, Fatal 4-Way, Britt Baker taking on Hikaru Shida, Jamie Hayter, and Toni Storm. I see Toni Storm walking out of here the winner with that championship, and I would love to see Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter finally implode, and we get a great feud between those two that gets TV time. But that's really hopeful when discussing AEW television for women's wrestling. Again, another thing that doesn't really have any story. It just has, like, you know, Thunder Rosa had to forfeit her championship because of a herniated disc. And so now we have this match. And before that, we had a little bit of a story between Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm, where they were tag teaming together. And unfortunately, Toni Storm had climbed up the ranks. So now she had to face Toni. Thunder Rosa had to face her own partner, Toni Storm. And so that was going to be a match here, but with her having to forfeit the title for a little while, this is the match, and I think that story is going to pick up once Rosa is cleared. But like I said, I'm really hoping for a Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter story out of all this, elevating Hayter to the main event. Next up, I had the AEW Trios Championship finale between the Elite and the team that will win on Rampage this Friday. So we have the semis. It's the Best Friends, Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, and Trent Beretta taking on the team of the Dark Order, who are missing both Evil Uno and Number 10. So it looks like Hangman Page is going to be stepping up for the Dark Order and taking that last spot. And with that addition, they will most likely pull out the win. And you could see the Elite, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks taking on Hangman Page and the Dark Order, John Silver, and, oh, I'm blanking on his name, but, you know, this is a story between Hangman and Omega, and I think this is going to be a stellar match. I see the Elite coming away with the Trios titles, the first ever champs for them. Hangman Page letting down his team once again. I think that's kind of his story perpetually. I wouldn't mind seeing the opposite, the flip side of that. I would actually really enjoy that. Just don't see it happening. I think that's the way to continue the story, continue the animosity between these guys, and eventually leading to that rematch between Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. So yeah, that's probably going to be match of the night, though. I mean, that's going to be a stellar match. Next up, though, main event, no doubt, AEW World Championship match between Jon Moxley and CM Punk. I've talked about this story a lot already. Basically, Chicago is fueling CM Punk. He's going to win this match, no issue. It's going to be probably a long match, considering their very short match they just had. I think it's going to be a long one. I think CM Punk's going to have to do the fake foot injury thing for a while, and then he'll pull off a GTS with that foot, and it's going to be unbelievably a victory, you know? But, yeah, I'm trying to keep an open mind here. I really want Punk to turn heel here. I think it'd be really, really shocking if he did, because he's in Chicago, but it's also not something that Punk, I feel like it's not something that Punk would hate, you know, that idea, but I don't know, we'll see. So yeah, CM Punk heading out the weekend with that AEW championship. That's my final prediction, you guys. I was going to share the preview for next week, but I felt like a couple things were a little spoiler because that taped SmackDown that's going to air this Friday. So I'm not going to talk about that at all because I only basically see spoilers. So I'm trying to keep myself spoiler free here on the channel. And then Monday Night Raw 2, I didn't really want to talk about it because it might be spoiler. And the only preview I guess I do have is that Wheeler Yuta will take on Daniel Garcia next Wednesday for the Pure Wrestling Championship. I think that's going to be a good match. And I think Garcia is going to win that match too, really crowning himself as a pro wrestler that he should be. But yeah, that I talked about my segment of the week. That was Sami Zayn and Roman Reigns breaking character there together. Match of the week is probably that United Empire and the Elite Trios match. That match was insanely good. So give those two things to watch for this coming week, though. Thank you guys for supporting the channel, for real. If you're listening to this part of the show. You know, that's really nice of you. That really is. We have an exciting weekend. Please leave down in the comments below what you're looking forward to the most, what match you're looking forward to the most. Do you think CM Punk's going to come out of All Out as World Heavyweight Champion? Do you think we're going to have a new WWE Universal Undisputed Champion? A lot of things are on the line this weekend. So let me know what you guys think. Please rate this podcast if you are on a podcast app. Please give us a rating or a review. And I'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you, guys. Goodbye.